finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? It's Steve Larson. This might be a fast episode. So I did the first day of my Titans of Industry Mastermind yesterday, and I'm driving in for the second right now. And, it's interesting. Something I have to repeatedly remind myself of, and I'm hoping that this also resonates with people who listen to this podcast, is that, like, you as the expert, whether a very seasoned expert or a very new expert, it's very easy to begin believing that you got to take the ball way past the point for the customer. You know what I mean? Like, let me give you an example. Yes, day one of this mastermind is proof of what I'm talking about. So Titans of Industry are the people that are past seven figures, and it doesn't always have to be in just their specific business, just as long as it's in their career in general. And the reason I set that as a milestone for being a Titan is because statistically only 3% of companies ever make a million. And so just a million, you know, in my book, you're above 97, that's above 97% of people. So, I mean, that's, yeah, you're a Titan by that point. And I know it's not where people want to stop, but, like, it is just, it's something to notice. So anyway, yesterday, one of the biggest questions people were asking was, like, how do I prioritize marketing? You know, I need more leads, but, you know, and so we went over some of the questions. I'm not going to go over all the questions, but some of the questions the group is asking for. And I do this at the beginning of every single one of my events. And I just basically go literally person through person. And I say, what are you struggling with in your business? And I make a big list. And so now I'm not guessing. And I'm like, ooh, this is exactly what they need from me to get progress and get over hurdles, right? Now, one of the biggest things that stood out to me yesterday, and why I'm doing this podcast real quick. So the commonality, though, has been in these questions, as I look at it, the commonality has been, like, what I would consider to be basic questions. You know, people are getting in there and they're asking things like, you know, how do I get more leads for this thing? Or how do I get better? How do I know if my offer is good enough? And that there are things to me that I'm like, well, you just do this. Like, or you know, I'm not at all trying to make fun of the questions that they're asking. It was just a good reminder to me. And it's something I've been reminded of consistently, which is that, we as the creators of our offers are already so much further down the path than we probably realize we are. And customers are not paying us to, like, it's so funny. When you go sell someone, someone's like, I want the full map. You know, give me the entire map to Mordor, right? But the reality is that they really just need to know how to set up a tent. Right? Or they need to know how do I find fresh water on the journey, right? That's actually going to be the stuff they're going to be asking. But what sells them is this map. And so, does that make sense what I'm saying? There has been repeated times in my career where I have gone way past the point of the customer's need, thinking that I was serving them, when in reality, I was stressing them. Because their question was, how do I find fresh water on this journey? But I'm thinking to myself, check it out. I have the entire map to Mordor, right? Or whatever. I don't know why I'm choosing a Lord of the Rings reference right now. I watched it with my girls for the first time, you know, my little daughter. So maybe that's it. But does that make sense what I'm saying, though? It's like, oh, wait, as the person who's been doing this for 10 years, right? As the person who's been studying and doing this for more than 10 years now, what gets me excited is not questions Like, how do I get fresh water and set up a tent on this journey? I'm way past that, right? And not saying I couldn't learn a new tactic or skill or whatever. And I think it's, you know, that's the beginning of the end when you start drinking your own Kool-Aid and you'll stop learning. But it's also way past the point of what the customer is actually needing 99% of the time. And so what's very easy to, Russell and I've had chats about this. I mean, he reminds me about this. He's like, hey man, you got deep again. And what he's trying to tell me is he's like, look, dude, what you found is some really cool patterns, but like, you know, he said that to me a couple times over the last 10 years. That's a good reminder though, you know, because a lot of times what people will do is they'll go, I can't go sell an offer because I'm not the foremost expert in my industry. I'm not the Tony Robbins of drywalling or whatever it is that you go do, right? And so because they're not, and because they don't feel like they are, they're like, therefore I don't qualify to go make money. I don't qualify to market hard, and I don't qualify to go out and be helping this customer. When in reality, the customer only wants to know, can you fix the hole in my wall? Do you know how to do drywall? Do you know how to make drywall? Do you know how to go fix this or that? You know what I'm saying? They're not trying to go get a degree in drywalling. They're not trying to go. So it's a really important thing to just remember that our customers, this is my Titans of Industry Mastermind. These people are not new. And some of the questions that they ask, I'm like, oh, and this was 1,000,000,000% validated when I watched even Russell's own inner circle. Russell's own inner circle paying him $25,000, $50,000. They are, 80% of them had never read a $7 book. So what do you think the answers were in the majority of the questions? Something that was in the $7 book. But that's okay. That's what people are paying for. They like that. That's a good thing, right? You're actually shortcutting time. So one of the things that'll get inside people's heads is because they're like, well, this, I can't teach this little tiny basic thing inside of my more expensive thing because it's in my cheap thing. And therefore, what am I giving? You're saving me from having to go read your whole book. Does that make sense? You're saving me from having to go, I'm going straight to the person, just straight to the answer. And so today we're doing all these hot seats, and it's something I always have to remind myself that we do not need major in-depth answers for 80% of the questions that pop up. Most of the time, what's actually happening is the value is in shortcutting straight to the person who knows the thing. And in doing that, we actually are saved. That is the value. Right, we're saving the person guesswork. We're saving the person and from having to go and try and figure out on their own. So anyway, that's just the point. The customer is paying you to keep things simple. The customer is paying you to go straight to the. When I go take my car, I got the little oil light that's popped in my car for probably like a month. I hate taking my car for maintenance, but when I take my car into Toyota, I like getting leases because I get to swap out cars every 3 years. All right. Trying out a 4Runner, really miss my truck. Oh, but I got kids and they have friends, so we just needed more room. You know, I'm still gonna go get another truck. I miss my truck. Anyway, but when I go take my truck in, I don't say to the person, Mr. Mechanic, who knows way more about cars than I do, could you please explain to me all the nuts and bolts and reality of why this oil is the best oil? I don't care, right? I want him to come in and say, right, hey, I'll see you in an hour. And I'm like, sweet deuces. I'm going to go hang out in your waiting room for a while, pop my laptop open and see if I can get some emails answered. Right. That's what I do. I don't want to know. I don't want to know when you open up the hood. Right. I don't want to know. I don't know everything that happens inside of an engine. I got the basics down. I'm not useless under the hood, but man, I don't know all the pieces. I don't know all the latest updates. I don't know who's releasing what feature and that feature over there. I don't know what cars are coming out next and what time. I don't care. Now, there is absolutely a market that does, but it's like the small percentage of the world. And where a mechanic or Toyota would get it wrong. You imagine in the car commercials that Toyota puts out, if the commercial was done by the engineer of the car versus the marketer, right? Instead of like showing the car driving over a hill, like how funny really are car commercials? This car drives over a small hill. Ooh, you know what I mean? That's how basic their sales message is. This car drives while it's raining. Wow, shouldn't it? right? Ooh, this car drives downhill and has brakes. Wow. Look, this car has tires. Like, wow, that's, ooh, come in and get this car at this percentage, at this rate, at this, right? You see what I'm saying? It's like, notice, and that's been the same freaking sales message of every single car that's come out. You know what I mean? And now the electric car commercials are like, this car is electric. You know, when you really look at what they're saying inside of the most of the car commercials, it's kind of laughable how freaking simple it is. But it's because they know the large majority, they don't want to, you imagine this car commercial is someone opens up the hood and they go through all the specific, I mean, straight up nerdy. You have to be an actual engineer to understand it terms, right? There would be a percentage of the market that is impressed by that. But everyone else would be confused, right? And a confused mind always says no. And the same thing is true in fulfillment. Just because someone has paid you, do you imagine now I go take the car in and they're like, you need, and I'm speaking to the actual designer and engineer of the Toyota, of the 4Runner that I drive itself. And they're like, this is, I'd be like, okay, after a while, like, shut up. I'm just going to go in your waiting room. So wait, so you're telling me you can fix it? Sweet. I'm going to be over there. I'll see you in an hour. Right. And,
hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
We tend to understand that more naturally when we're in the marketing mindset, to keep it simple. So, right, we kind of all speak third to fifth grade language, and it's not because someone's dumb. It's just they don't freaking care, right? It actually stresses them out. But when we go into fulfillment mode, sometimes it's very natural for us to just like, we vomit, you know, and we're like, well, we get way too deep, way too in depth, far past the point that the customer is asking questions for. And price does not mean to go deeper. We only take those tools out of our tool, especially those who have been around the block for a while. Like, we got to check ourselves on this and make sure we don't go deep just because we know. It's not a flex that you know more. It's a flex that you can be simple, right? Shortest distance to epiphany for the customer is where the value is, not right. And that might involve a little story just so they can understand how you got the epiphany. But really, I only pull that out now if someone like needs it. You know what I mean? I think that you can stress an audience when I'm one-on-one. I'm very much doing that. How do I do this? This, how to do this? This, if I'm working an audience, right, where I'm mixing with tons of different false beliefs and there's lots of backgrounds and there's lots of side stories, it's absolutely important to tell. Like, I tell a lot more stories. Anyway, just keep thinking that shortest distance to epiphany is more valuable than you spewing the fact that you know everything about the engine, right? I ran into this when I was a door-to-door sales guy. I don't know if I've told the story. I'll be real fast about it. But I was a really good door-to-door sales guy for the first half of the summer. I was selling pest control in Utah, right? Not a lot of bugs in Utah. It was a hard gig. It's before I was on the internet. It's actually how I got on the internet marketing game, though. This is 2012 when I was doing that. Door-to-door sales guy, you know, pitching this stuff. And I was good the first half of the summer. And it's because someone would knock on the, you know, I'd knock on the door and they'd open the door and they'd be like, does it kill my bugs? And I'd be like, yes, here's the order form. I didn't know anything. Yeah, I know it kills your bugs. That's it. You want to know how I went from 1 to 2 sales a day to 1 to 2 sales per week? Halfway through the summer, I was like, I might open up my own office. I mean, that was kind of, I thought I'd go build a sales team and because I was doing well, you know? And so I was like, well, I better like become really good at this, which to me meant knowledge. So I went in and I started learning about literally the chemical compounds of the pest control. I mean, I could tell you why it worked compared to other pest controls. I could tell, I started studying, no joke, insect exoskeletons. and I got way freaking deep. So the next time I was on the door and somebody said, does it kill my bugs? Instead of me going, yes, here's the order form. What I did was I was like, oh my gosh, I've been spending hours learning this stuff, weeks actually, just going deep. And now I have a willing participant who wants to be victim of all of my knowledge. And I'll just spew it. And instead of saying, yes, here's the order form, the person eventually would just start shutting the door. Okay, stop talking, shut up, right? And they would close the door on me. And I went from 1 to 2 sales a day to 1 to 2 sales per week. It murdered me. I ended up 5 months of pitching on doors with only $1,100 to spare. I was crushing it the first half of the summer. The second half of the summer, I couldn't figure out what was going on, right? Then after that, I was like, oh my gosh, there are two big reasons. And that was the first big reason. The second was because I was pitching poor neighborhoods, so they wouldn't keep contracts. I had all these money false beliefs back then, which is part of the reason I became the capitalist pig. It's like Batman is afraid of bats, so you became Batman, same kind of thing. Anyway, too many side stories. But my point with this, though, is that in marketing, we tend to understand, answer the question and get back to the close. Answer the question, get back to the close. Answer the question. But we still have to do the same thing in fulfillment. It's no cooler. It's the same thing I've been running into while writing the dramatic demonstration book. As I'm looking at some parts of this and I'm like, man, this stuff is, it's still too freaking deep, right? So I'm so excited that there's a course that's going to go out with the book, because the course is going to go like a video series. It's going to go, it goes quite a significant amount deeper than the book can, just based on the platform. I can go way deeper on a stage than I can in a book. But it's the same thing, though. It's like the things that go spread, like the things that spread, the things that go mass market, the things that have honestly the fastest speed to success for the customer are simple. I'm not saying shallow. I'm saying simple. Two different things, right? When I say that we're not going deep, I don't mean that we're not, I'm not saying shallow as in like, you know, you go sell a course to someone on how to run ads and you're like, well, there's this platform called Facebook. You should run ads on it. $1,000. I'm not saying shallow. I'm saying simple, right? That's a different metric than the ante of deep. And so just think through that with your fulfillment. Think through that with your marketing. Think through that in every process. Think through that when you're training employees or people to come work for you. If you make it this crazy, right? There is nothing that my brain loves more than going deep. Seriously. Like, it's so funny, man. My first Offermind event, I had 150 people at it. It was 2018. And it's before I knew that you could get like speakers. So it was me for 2 days, which I've done many times. I'm kind of a beast on stage. I will take that. I will take that cake. I thought that depth and volume equaled value. And so, I mean, I taught deep. I taught deep about offer strategy, multiple offer templates. There's way more than my core offer. There's way more templates I've created. I have a template for high ticket offers, a template for low ticket offers. The one that has become kind of famous is kind of like the middle ticket one. That's the Xavier model. But I have this way. I can't believe how freaking deep I went. And then Russell went and he watched the replays of it. I didn't know that. Well, the next year was the OfferMind 2019 event. 650 people I got to come to that event. And I got Russell to come keynote, which is super cool. So Russell comes and he keynotes to this event and he's talking, he's on stage and he's talking about the first OfferMind event. And he's like, did you guys ever go to Steve's first event? He stood on the edge of the stage and he points down to the floor and looks straight down and he goes, Steve went deep. And he stared at the floor for a while and he points harder and he goes, like so deep. I'll never forget him doing that. And he goes, the difference between this OfferMind event and the last OfferMind event is that Steve figured out how to teach it way more simply because it's valuable, right? What I was teaching was really valuable, but it was too deep, right? Like I love just finding patterns and patterns. Like it's the coolest freaking thing. I feel like my brain does the beautiful mind thing, you know? And I know a lot of you guys are that same way. Cause you follow me. But a lot of us are way too deep. We are past the point. We are past the point of a purchase, past the point of fulfillment, and way past the point of simplicity. And to us, it makes total sense because we have walked the path. We have walked the routes. We know what's happening. But if we don't come back up, like those insights are just for us. I was literally working with a coach like 6 months ago and I was talking to her about it. And she goes, you have to understand though, that a lot of these things that you found, Stephen, they're for you. Not everyone has to know all your processes and your train of thought in order to get the outcomes that you create. And I was like, oh, right. And it was just another reminder. And this has been a pretty consistent thing across my 10 years is that while I'm in discovery mode, man, I let myself go deep. You know what I mean? I let myself get really deep. I want to discover, right? But I constantly have to remind myself. It's like every 2 years, I have to remind myself like, oh yeah. Okay, I've been learning all this stuff. Now let's go back up, right? Not to say that the absence of depth rather, but simplicity. How do I make this simple, 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 right? It's like that quote that says, perfection is not when there's more to add, but when there's nothing more to take away. Oh, so look through all your fulfillment, look through all your marketing, look through the way you train people. Simple, simple, simple. And if you need to, then you can reach down to the depths and grab some insight because you've been there, done that. If you need to, if the customer needs to, and they're in unique scenarios, but don't make it the norm. That's not what they're paying you for. Unless they come to you and say, I want to be the engineer that designs cars. Don't pull out the blueprints of the car. That's not all they're saying is where do I put the key in the car? Even then, right now it's just buttons and cars, right? That's all they're saying. Where do I push the button to turn it on? Awesome. And this car is legal to drive on the street? Cool. Alrighty. Well, let's talk terms. What's the price? You know what I mean? And like 90% of car sales are like that. You know, and when you do get a car buff that comes in or you get someone who's super into it, sweet. Now you can talk shop just a little bit. But if you stay there, it becomes more about the car rather than the purchase of the car. That's two different things, right? Talking about your thing is not actually what sells it. You going into the depths of how much knowledge, that's not what sells something. That's how to talk your way out of the purchase. It's the same thing I was running into when I was going through the door-to-door stuff. Just because you understand all this crap about the pest control, Steve Larson, does not mean someone's going to go buy. In fact, it actually is what got someone to stop buying. And it's not because I wasn't right. And it's not because the facts and figures were wrong. It's literally because the customer doesn't give a crap. They're just like, who does it kill my bugs? And I'm like, yes, sweet. Where do I sign up? And then we could talk terms, right? Right. Very few. Some people are like, is it going to hurt my dog? And it'd be like, no, because of X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3, so are you in. Instead of, no, 15-minute dissertation on why this pest control is the best pest control and all the chemical compounds, like, blah, right? So anyway, all right, keep it simple. I'm going to go run a mastermind. If you're interested, go to titansofindustry.com.